So Kobe hits a jumper from the right elbow off a screen to put the Lakers up. Ken Dennis was our director that night. He and Ed Fibishoff were a producer and director that Hubie and I worked with. They were awesome. Awesome that night. Great. Like, the camera cuts are just next level great. Okay. So then Kobe gets fouled. He comes to the line. He's eventually going to go out a couple of possessions later. He hits the first one for 59. He's at the line the second time. And you've got to watch on the free throw line, closest to Kobe, back to the camera, is Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward steps into the lane as Kobe's about to shoot that last free throw for 60, in case he missed it, to give him another shot for 60. That, to me, was the most unique example I could give to people of the fraternity of the NBA and the reverence for greatness in the NBA is at a different level than any of the other sports that we watch or cover. It was like Gordon Hayward, his team losing in this game. They blew a lead, blah, 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 blah. He had the complete wherewithal at 59 to just put a foot in the lane and look over at the ref just in case Kobe missed it to make sure he got another shot at 60. That is just one of those things that nobody ever remembers, that very few people see. But every time I see Gordon Hayward, I think of that. I'm like, you know what, dude? You get it. You get it. You get it at a level that other people don't. And I'm a fan of yours for life for that.
That was Mike Tirico, formerly of ESPN, now with NBC Sports, with his recollection that on the night that Kobe Bryant scored 60 points in his final ever NBA game. And welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is the Kobe Bryant Tribute Show here on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. This is Shukri Wright's. This is now hour number three of the show. We're here with you until 1 o'clock. We have award-winning author and sports writer Gerald Hoover, who'll join us at 12:30 to talk about Kobe's passing and his impact on Los Angeles and in the Los Angeles perspective in his death. He'll join us at 12:30 for a must-listen interview in which I will admit I will do my very best to contain my emotions and so forth. You can call into the show at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. And during this this time, we're actually going to talk about that moment and that game, and what do I remember about that night. This was April 2016, and it was a late night game. I was actually in the house watching the game, and then I fell asleep. But I remember it was late. It was a late night game, but I knew this was Kobe's final game, and that somehow, some way, I had to at least catch something from that night. And the one thing I remember was that I fell asleep and I woke back up, and then I was hearing the announcer, and it was Mike Tirico on ESPN with the call. And I remember him saying that he was approaching 60 points. I was like, wait, what? Seriously? That, to me, although he took a bunch of shots, and I will dare not take anything away from that night, because that night was special for sports fans, for Laker fans, for everyone who was there, who was in attendance. I tell you, that moment in that game was something absolutely special and powerful. Now, Tirico points out in that clip that Gordon Hayward, who was a Utah Jazz at the time, now with the Boston Celtics, he said that his foot was in the shooting lane, which normally would have constituted a shooting lane violation, and which would give the shooter an extra attempt. And he pointed out that his foot was there just in case, if Kobe had missed it, that he would have gotten at least one more shot to get 60. And Gordon Hayward was informed about that, and he actually addresses this in a series of tweets on Twitter, which I'm going to read to you. You could follow him on Twitter at Gordon Hayward. And he said, quote, 12 hours ago, it has also come to my attention. Well, first and foremost, I'm actually going to give this entire tweet the justice and the respect that it deserves. He tweeted this at 11:24 last night. Quote, this day has been incredibly heartbreaking for me. Kobe is someone that I looked up to and admired and developed a personal relationship with. I have struggled so much with trying to understand the devastating news, and like many others, I'm still trying to process it. Now, this continues also at that same time at 11:14. Now, this is him addressing what Mike Tirico had said. It has also come to my attention that, before I continue, this is part of a series of tweets that he tweeted out. So bear with me. It has also come to my attention that there is a story going around tonight about an intentional lane violation that I took to ensure Kobe would get his 60th point in his final game, and many applauding me for the gesture. The fact of the matter is that it's not true. This was a night that I will truly never forget, as I can remember almost every moment of it, and my goal that night was to compete as hard as I possibly could against Kobe, because that is what he was all about, and I wanted to give him my very best. He got 60 on me, and I didn't give him anything free all night. What happened on the free throw line was not intentional. Kobe would have lost respect for me if I had gave him something free. That's what made him so very special. Rest in peace, Kobe. I'm so honored to have shared our time on and off the court together. First and foremost, I wanna simply say that those tweets made me respect Gordon Hayward even more as an athlete. And the fact that he decided to correct that false notion or that false narrative speaks volumes to his character and who he is as a person. Even in a moment of grief, in a moment of dealing with the devastation and the sad news, he took the time in the most classiest way to address that very notion and to address and squash that falsehood. And I thought, number one, for Gordon Hayward himself to do that speaks volumes. And then number two, I strongly believe that he's right on this very point here, that Kobe would have lost respect for him if he had given him anything free, for the simple fact that Kobe, as part of his legacy and as part of his DNA, he wanted to make sure that he had earned everything that he's ever got on the court, in-game competition. And that's part of what made him so great. He didn't do or take freebies from anybody. He wasn't giving anything. He worked, and he worked, and he worked until he couldn't work no more. And that's part of what makes him truly so special in my eyes and in my heart, that he went out and put in the work and the time and the dedication to get better every single day. That's Kobe. We can sit here and say that at the time of his retirement, he was third all time in scoring, 5 NBA titles, 18-time All-Star. The list goes on and on. 2-time Olympic gold champion for USA men's basketball. But that's incredible just to even reflect on what he's accomplished. but the type of individual and the impact and the legacy that he leaves behind is what really made me admire him so much. And especially when we oftentimes talk about our heroes, whether if it's in sports or life, that we oftentimes hold him to a higher standard. And sometimes it's okay. Sometimes we have to remember that it is okay to remember that he was human too. But the good outweigh the bad, and that's all you can ask for as you leave this world. And this is something that Jason Witten, the tight end for the Dallas Cowboys, he posted on Instagram, in which it was a heartfelt message. I'm going to read it to you in just a moment, in which he took a photo with three men. Two of them I recognize. One of them Kobe, the other one being Magic Johnson. The other one I can't make out to who that other person is. So pardon me for my ignorance. So this is what Jason Witten wrote in his Instagram post. Quote, May 2018, a few weeks after my retirement speech, I see Kobe in NYC. He had seen the tape and was instantly fascinated by the intricacies of the Y option route. For the next 30 minutes, we pull up the clip and he asks me the question after question of the technique, the strategy, the mindset of every variation of the route, and how the defense would try and stop it. I told him how I had adopted a mantra of his over the years. You can't cheat the muse, as a way to stay disciplined. Those mornings when you didn't want to wake up or get any extra balls after practice. If my son wasn't putting in the effort for a test at school, I would tell him, you can't cheat the muse. You can't. In everything Kobe did in life, he set the standard. Kobe knew that the path to success in anything in life is not easy, and it's not for everyone. You might be able to slide by a day at practice and get away with it. But the moose would know. The muse always knows. As a father and as a competitor. A few weeks later, I get a note from Kobe. I'm excited for the world to learn from you. Be in touch. KB. Kobe Bryant's initials. I'll never forget you, Kobe. What a damn life. You never cheated the moose, and we are all better off because of your standard of excellence. Rest in peace. That was from Jason Witten. But this was beyond perfect. And if you missed the beginning of the show, and especially during the first hour, I talked about the Mamba mentality. And this is part of the Mamba mentality personified. You can't cheat the process to success. You can't cheat the process towards greatness. There's no shortcuts. And even last week when I had two-time Super Bowl champion Perry Williams on the show, and he said it himself, there's no shortcuts to success. You have to work. You have to be willing to put in the work. Prepare to put in the work and then actually execute it. This was all part of the mindset that Kobe Bryant had. And it showed. On the court and off the court. In sports and in life. And that to me, that post right there, is so powerful that it reminds us all yet again the impact in which that Kobe Bryant has had on people, whether they played the same sport or not, Or even better yet, when we talk about how a man whose reach was so far and wide that it was absolutely incredible. And now that we see the outreach and the love in which that we all some way, somehow express our gratitude to Black Mamba. And it was truly, truly amazing to watch, especially as we all take the time to pay tribute to a legend. And there was one moment in which that really touched me. There was a tribute, a very special tribute done by Sportsnet's Arash Madani that has long since been tweeted out, and I think it's absolutely worth playing, and I think we all should take a listen to reflect on the greatness of Kobe Bryant. Here it is.
There were such unquestionable, distinct themes attached to the basketball career of Kobe Bryant. The unrelenting competitiveness, the will and want to win, the unmistakable pursuit to do whatever it would take to lift another championship trophy. Phil Jackson marveled that throughout his coaching career, one player beat him to the gym every morning. Kobe. So of course he bought a helicopter. That would get him to and from the practice facility and to Staples. It would save him so much time, help preserve the body, give him an edge to get better. And riding that chopper gave him an extra hour at home. Mamba on the floor, Dad at home. Such cruel irony that Bryant's last ride was off to another gym, another game, and in a helicopter. A helicopter that crashed, killing he and eight others. The opponent wasn't MJ or LeBron. No, Sunday, Kobe and his daughter Gianna were among the group headed to her travel basketball game. The same ride that took him to the grandest heights of the NBA world. The five championships and two MVPs that made him as recognizable a global star as any athlete in North America. Within an hour of the initial news reports, a quiet Sunday turned into a shocking blow to the gut across the sport and entertainment world. An impromptu memorial started and grew even more outside Staples Center. At the Pro Bowl, the players were like zombies, asking anyone hoping it wasn't true. Neymar's goal celebration was muted, just flashing his fingers with a jersey number and a point to the heavens. Outside of the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden was lit in purple and gold. And there was no opening possession for the Raptors nor the Spurs. In a building that once viewed number 8 and number 24 as enemy number 1, those in San Antonio chanted his name and paid tribute to him with an ovation. 24 seconds for number 24.
You know, I just don't have a lot to say. The news is just devastating to everybody who knew him a long time.
Kobe Bean Bryant was almost destined for stardom from the jump. Born in Hoops Mad Philly, the son of a basketball pro. His father's career took the family to Europe, and it was there he became fluent in Italian, learned to dribble on the pitch almost as well as he did on the floor. To this day in Milan, Bryant is as connected to soccer as he is basketball. When he retired, it was about the next challenge. It always was for Bryant, wasn't it? So was anybody surprised when he stood on Hollywood's grand stage in 2018, the winner of an Oscar? Yes, Academy Award winner Kobe Bryant, executive producer and writer for animated short Dear Basketball. It was always about ball with Kobe. The career achievements are for the books. He's in every conversation when you bring up the GOAT. You may not be right when making a case for the kid from Lower Merion High, but you certainly wouldn't be wrong. He's right there with Jordan and LeBron, Bird and Shaq, Kareem and Bill Russell. Think of the scope. Go anywhere in the world and mention Kobe. He's as identifiable as Bolt, Messi, Fed, Serena, and Tiger. Bryant has guarded Del Curry and his son Steph. He feuded with Shaq, won with Shaq, feuded with Shaq some more, then won a couple more rings without him.
He's got one more than Shaq.
The two highest rated Christmas Day games since the Jordan era have featured Kobe Bryant as the lead villain. For years, that's what he was. The shot-happy, arrogant kid who from the beginning wouldn't back down. Not as a rookie in a hopeless fail to Utah. Not in the early 2000s, when his demands and selfishness crumbled what could have been an iconic Laker dynasty. Kobe Bryant didn't care about any of that, of what his teammates said about him, and certainly not what you or I thought. Few could tolerate his dismissiveness, but no matter, he just got after it harder. His work ethic remained unmatched. USA Basketball officials tell the story of legend. Bryant calling strength coaches to get a workout and 300 jump shots in at 4 a.m. in July. It all didn't matter until the crossroads moment. The Boston Demons struck Bryant in 2008.
Someone please call 911. Rondo has just picked the pocket of Kobe Bryant. Utter destruction of the Lakers.
A 39-point loss in those finals. The biggest margin of victory in a clinching championship game. To the Celtics, no less, on the parquet.
That's up your world!
A dozen years in, and the light flipped on. The Mamba was born, and Kobe went on. He captained the Americans to gold that summer, told the Leprechaun to shove it, then led the Lakers to back-to-back NBA titles after the embarrassment at the Garden. Along the way, he became the all-time leading scorer for one of the greatest franchises in sport.
This really feels like a dream. I mean, it doesn't even feel real right now. It's unbelievable.
You know what else he did that Jordan didn't? At the twilight of his NBA career, when the issue really exploded in America, it was Bryant, in pregame warmups, who had his teammates wear "I Can't Breathe" t-shirts. It's a justice issue, Kobe later said. When his body gave out, his voice still mattered. The night he clutched on to his first and only Oscar, he told reporters, "That gold trophy felt better than any championship." And he also told the world this.
Well, I don't know if it's possible. I mean, as basketball players, we're really supposed to shut up and dribble, but I'm glad we can do a little bit more than that.
While that was Kobe Bryant in the latter stages of his life, what followed him for much of it is what happened in Colorado in 2003. He was charged with felony sexual assault and admitted to adultery. The case never went to trial after the woman decided not to testify. Charges were dropped. Bryant was in a courtroom right around the time he and his wife Vanessa became parents. The first of four kids. Gianna was the one with Kobe on Sunday. He once said, "I totally passed on the basketball gene to her." They were on their way to her game. In a helicopter. One of the greatest to ever do it, suddenly gone at the age of 41.
That was an incredibly beautiful tribute by Arash Madani of Sportsnet in Canada's special shout out to Sportsnet, ABC News, CBS this morning for such great content on the tribute to Kobe Bryant. And in just about a little less than 2.5 minutes from now, we will be joined by award-winning author, writer and veteran sports writer Gerald Hoover, who'll join us at 12:30 Eastern Time, right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. And this has this has been quite a show. Emotional at times. While I have tried my best to compose my emotions, but this is exactly what I wanted to do and needed to do. And that we have about 32 minutes remaining in this program. But I do hope that so far that you have enjoyed, but also appreciated the work and the time that I put into this as well. So while we still have a moment, we're going to do the PSA and the station identification right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. So here's the station identification real quick. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
This is Steven Pinker, and you are tuned in to WMFO in Medford, 91.5 FM, pure pleasure technology, Tufts freeform and educational radio.
Leave your cares behind, come with us and find the pleasures of the journey to the center of the mind.
I am Dr. Lester Grinspoon, Associate Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School. Back in 1966, concerned that so many young people were harming themselves through the use of marijuana, I began to review the medical and scientific literature to help clarify the nature of this harmfulness. Much to my surprise, I discovered that it was a substance remarkably free of toxicity. In fact, it is far safer than any pharmaceutical or recreational drug. There is no record of a single overdose death from its recreational or medicinal use. Marijuana is one of the most studied substances. I believe that it is high time that this country reconsider its stance on cannabis.
Them legalize marijuana.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. We're just awaiting Mr. Gerald Hoover to call into the studio and join us for the interview. We're here with you for another 30 minutes. The phone lines are open for right now if you want to sneak in a quick phone call and discuss your thoughts on Kobe and what he may have meant to you, whether it's his career or his life after basketball, and so forth. You could do that. You can definitely feel free to call in as well. Call into the show at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Definitely, it's been quite a I'd say near 10 months for Los Angeles, the city of Los Angeles itself. Remember, back in, I think it was March 31st, if I'm not mistaken, back in late March or early April, that it was the city and the region and the hip hop world reeling after the death of Nipsey Hussle, who had died tragically after being shot in front of his store. And now here we are, we're 48 hours removed since the death of Kobe Bryant, and it's been some kind of 10 months. It hasn't even been a full year since Nipsey Hussle died, the hip hop legend that he was. And while we wait for Gerald Hoover to come on, we're going to continue on with the show and continue to talk about Kobe and what he's meant. And there is a moment in which that is part of a much longer interview, but this clip is a couple of minutes long, in which Kobe Bryant talks about the importance of enjoying life. And I think he's better off let his words basically do the talking for me instead. This is what he had to say in a interview, I believe it was with the Pat McAfee show.
Have a good time. Enjoy life. It's life is too short to get bogged down and be discouraged, or you have to keep moving. You have to keep going. Put one foot in front of the other, smile, and just keep on rolling.
Everybody at home, you give that person next to you whatever thing you have wrong in your life with them. This might be small or big. Let that shit go. Doesn't matter. I know I curse. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
None of that stuff matters, man.
You know, he means a lot to me, obviously. You know, he was such a great opponent.
He went beyond great playing. He was a competitor that goes unmatched, and it's what made him, as a player, so attractive to everybody, that focus.
As Trey peels off the warm-up in honor of his dearly departed friend, Kobe Bryant.
The New York Knicks joined the NBA family in mourning the devastating loss of beloved NBA and global icon Kobe Bryant.
He's a great leader. He's a great champion. He's a great person. If you got a chance to know Kobe, if you got a chance to really know Kobe, nobody better, man.
When other people were taking vacations, he was studying. When other people were taking breaks, he was working out. That was his entire mentality.
Kobe, my thoughts are with you. Absolutely. Rest in peace, young man.
And she looks up and she looks at it. And she closes her eyes. She takes a couple deep breaths. And she just completely calms down. She goes to the free throw line, drains them, wins the game. And I was like,
all right, man. All right.
24-second shot clock, of course, Kobe Bryant, number 24.
Five-time champion, two-time finals MVP, NBA MVP, Academy Award winner. He was a well-rounded man and gone way too soon.
Hey, you got to have a boy. You and V got to have a boy. Man. You have somebody carry on the tradition, the legacy. She's like, oi. I got this.
Thank you, Kobe. Thank you, Kobe. Thank you, Kobe. Thank you, Kobe.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful. That was Kobe Bryant at the beginning with his words, and then it was a compilation of Jalen Rose on ESPN. Stephen A. on ESPN, Kobe's interview, and when she talked about Gianna, his daughter, and it was also Kobe who had the interview with Fox 11 in Los Angeles, beaming with pride when talking about his daughter, and I wanna point out something here that's really important to me, and I think it's important for everybody to hear this, that this was a man who was proud to have girls. And I mentioned that it's so important because for reasons that I will never understand, and I mean that sincerely, that I will never understand why, especially the men out there who frown upon having a daughter, or frown upon the idea of, like, you know, having a girl as a child. This was someone who was proud to have a daughter, the fact that he's proud to be a dad's girl, or a girl's dad, being a father to four daughters. This was someone who took exceptional pride in that. Yet, the common man can't seem to appreciate that. And maybe, perhaps, that is time that all of you, especially the fathers that are out there, who has a daughter or have daughters, to really begin taking even more pride of being a father to girls in the way that Kobe was. There's something to be said about that. There's something to be said about someone who has girls and yet embraces the responsibility of raising them. Never shied away from it. And that's the part that I am absolutely proud of Kobe for that very aspect. And it's so important that especially as men, we really understand the importance that a father plays in a child's life, especially for a daughter. And I'm going to end this segment on that very note. Still waiting for Gerald Hoover to call in the program. Haven't heard from him yet. The number to call in is 855-915-WMFO, 855-9636. We're going to take a break. When we return, we're going to continue with the show. Hopefully, by the time we continue, that he will have already called in. So we'll see. You're listening to The Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tough Street Farm Radio.
Don't you know that I love you so?
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show, special edition Kobe Bryant tribute show here on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. That was from Sunday night, the Grammy show. That was Alicia Keys and Boyz II Men with the tribute to Kobe Bryant, as we have for the past 2 hours and 45 minutes now. And we have about maybe 15 minutes left, but there will be a 5-minute tribute to Kobe, as this entire show has been dedicated to Kobe Bryant. And more than anything else, I definitely want to say the following. And it's been a lot of personal thought, a lot of emotions as I've done this show today. And one thing I will say is this. Sometimes tragedy has an interesting way of unveiling the strength that we carry, while unveiling the potential that we have in every one of us to carry forward. And as painful as this moment is, it's important to remember, and we begin to celebrate the legacy in which that he's left behind, while also remembering the indelible moments that he has left us all with. And one of the great pleasures that we all have now, and we'll forever use it for the good of it that it brings, is social media to relive those moments. And that this is as painful as it is now, but I hope that we can all look back 5-10 years from now and forever on with the fond memories of what he brought to this world, what he brought to his family, and the impact that he has had on so many people around him, And the thing that I will personally forever take with me is the lessons that he's learned and the lessons that he's brought upon us all in terms of striving for greatness, working towards excellence, and accepting no less, and never settling for mediocrity. As his seventh grade teacher once said, rest at the end, never in the middle. Meaning, don't rest until you get to where you go. And even when you finally get to your destination, challenge yourself. What's next? What's the next challenge that I can conquer? What's the next obstacle that I can overcome? Because greatness doesn't come when the road is smooth. It's filled with challenges and adversity. And if there's anything that I have said today, is some of the things that I've learned personally from watching Kobe from afar for years, is how he has embraced challenges to help him become the legend that he has become. Not so much only in the sports sense. Yes, that's a big part of it. But more importantly, away from the arena. And I think it's so important for us to remember that our greatest battles are often fought not surrounded by people, but within ourselves. And the question that I will leave all of you today, all of my listeners, is what are you doing to ensure that your dreams and your ambitions come true? What work are you putting in, or what work are you willing to put in? How far are you willing to drive yourself to propel yourself towards greatness? And a funny thing about when I think about many things that Kobe has taught us all, but none more poignant than learning to work to get better every single day. Every single day presents new challenges. Life is not easy. We will all be tested. We will all be tested in some shape and form. But what we can do is to rely on our strength, our faith, and our resolve to carry us through those dark moments. No matter how dark it may seem, there is always light at the end of the day. There is always sunshine at the end of the dark tunnel. And although it may be difficult now, there is hope. There is hope for a better tomorrow. There's hope in being able to find that strength from within to be able to push ourselves towards being better individuals and being better human beings. And above all else, we have untapped potential that it's time for us to tap into and realize what we can be. And I want to offer my final thoughts before I end it with Dear Basketball, Kobe Bryant. I hope that, above all else, that I did the show and I did it justice to offer the best tribute that I possibly can. And for as much sadness as there has been the last 48 hours, I hope that in some shape and form that I was able to bring some sort of light. Although we will never be able to bring him back, or his daughter, or Coach Ottobelli, or his wife, or his daughter, and any of the and all of the victims who have died in a helicopter crash, one thing that I do know is that we can carry their memories forward, a day at a time, a moment at a time. And with that being said, I sincerely hope that I did the man proud. And I hope that his family and his loved ones find the strength to carry through these dark days. And as I usually would say, this is Shukri Writes. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tusk Free Form Radio. Mamba out, and I'm going to end the show with a 5-minute clip titled Dear Basketball by Kobe Bryant. Much love to you, brother. My thoughts, my prayers goes out to your family and all of the victims' families. Mamba out.
A 1-point game.
Dear Basketball. From the moment I started rolling my dad's tube socks and shooting imaginary game-winning shots in the Great Western Forum, I knew one thing was real. I fell in love with you. A love so deep, I gave you my all. From my mind and body, to my spirit and soul. As a 6-year-old boy, deeply in love with you, I never saw the end of the tunnel. I only saw myself running out of one. And so I ran. I ran up and down every court after every loose ball for you. You asked for my hustle. I gave you my heart, because it came with so much more. I played through the sweat and the hurt. Not because challenge called me, but because you called me. I did everything for you. Because that's what you do when someone makes you feel as alive as you've made me feel. You gave a 6-year-old boy his Laker dream. And I'll always love you for it. But I can't love you obsessively for much longer. This season is all I have left to give. My heart can take the pounding. My mind can handle the grind. But my body knows it's time to say goodbye. And that's okay. I'm ready to let you go. I want you to know now, so we both can savor every moment we have left together. The good. good and the bad. We have given each other all that we have. And we both know, no matter what I do next, I'll always be that kid with the rolled up socks, garbage can in the corner, 5 seconds on the clock, ball in my hands. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Love you always, Kobe.